This week is I love God's word. It is so all-consuming to me, though, at times, because this is an amazing book. It's not like any other book in all the world in any way, shape, or form, because this book is living and it is active. It is one that, if you allow it to, you can have a relationship not only with God and with Christ and the Holy Spirit, but this book allows you through the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with it, because it is living and active. And if you ask questions, and if you seek, and if you knock, and if you study, man, it's just an incredible relationship that I wish each one of us could have and have the opportunity to have, but we need to take the time to have it. It's like any other relationship. If you don't invest in it, it's not going to be there. And last week I was preaching a sermon for our graduates, and I was talking about Matthew chapter 7, and I was starting at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and the whole idea that Jesus was this amazing teacher that taught with such authority like no one else had ever taught. But one of the things Jesus says before that, he says very plainly, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," and this "therefore" is pointing back to what he just got done previously saying, the entire Sermon on the Mount starting in Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, because of all these things I've said, all these words I've spoken, all these lessons I've taught you," he says, "therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And so that was a message I was preaching last week. But as I got done at the message, literally, you notice I probably come over here and I kind of beat myself up a little bit of all the things I said and all the things I didn't say and wish I would have said and things like that. Literally, I got thinking, well, let's look at those words that Jesus just got done saying. And so the normal thing probably would be to start at chapter 5 at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, but I'm not very normal. You figured that out by now. I'm going to start at the end, and I might work my way backwards, and I don't know how far we're going to get, but this morning, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, you can look on the screen too, but if you have your Bibles, open them up, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. And I think it's really interesting that this is probably one of the last lessons that Jesus brings to his disciples and to all the people who are listening to this message. This is one of the last messages that he brings to these people. And I think it's a really important message, because here he's been teaching incredible teachings, and we're going to get to those. But in the midst of all these incredible teachings, at the very end, he's saying, hey, but watch out. Be careful about the teachings that you're listening to and the people that you're listening to. Listen to what he says. Listen to the words of Jesus, and don't just listen to them. Put them into practice, all right? He says, therefore, he says, watch out. So when Jesus says watch out, guys, guess what? Watch out, all right? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So, here's a warning that Jesus has given to us. He's given this to us at a very important time, at the end of a message that he has been giving us incredible teachings. And at the end of these incredible teachings, he says, watch out. He says, watch out. He says, there are going to be false prophets out there who are going to try and bring in false teachings into your life. And it's really easy to follow after these false teachings. It's really easy to listen to these things and put those into practice. As a matter of fact, it seems easier. Has anyone ever noticed this? It seems easier to do the wrong thing, to listen and learn wrong things, than it is to listen and learn right things. Have you ever noticed that? It amazes me with kids. It really does. Man, you can say, don't do this, don't do that, or do this. And it's like, and as soon as someone says, hey, man, let's go do this, and it's wrong, or don't do this, and it's a bad thing, man, it seems like you only have to be told once to do the wrong thing, and all of a sudden you've got it. You see, Jesus understands what's happening in his time, what's happening in the time between his and ours, and what's happening right now. He recognizes that in the world there are always going to be false prophets. There's going to be false teachers. Now, first of all, we need to understand what a prophet is. So there's a couple different definitions of prophets, and we can spend a lot of time on this. I'm not going to. So I have two different kind of definitions or ways to look at what a prophet is. Some prophets are sent by God. A true prophet is sent by God, given a message of what is to come, a future event that is going to happen. And that's what a lot of people think about prophetic utterances and things like that. It's something that's going to be happening in the future. It's something that God has given to a man, and that man has been given a charge or given a duty to proclaim that prophecy, what is to come in the future, okay? So that's one idea of a prophet. And the Old Testament is filled with prophets who God gave a message, God proclaimed that message through that prophet, and it came true. Here's the thing. A true prophet, when he's called by God and told something's going to happen, how do you know it's a true prophet? It happens. What God says happens. What the prophet says happens. False prophets, all right? False prophets are not sent by God. They have their own little idea in their head of what's going to happen, and they put out this prediction of what's going to happen, and they throw it out there, and a lot of people follow them. Man, we've been having that for years and years and years. People follow them, and all of a sudden, it doesn't happen. You remember 2000? What was that thing called? Y2K. You remember that? Man, there were so many prophets out there. Oh, it's all going to crash and burn. All the computers are going to turn off, and the world's going to go into chaos, and we need to get all this stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And people believed it, and they grabbed hold of it, and they stockpiled. I'm sorry. I know of a few people that did this in a big way. He even admitted it. So he stockpiled in a big way, and 2000 came, and, well, it was pretty much like the day before. And we've had those things over and over again. Literally, even since the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, there have been people saying, well, he's going to come back this day. He's going to come back that day. He's going to come back that day. And those days have come and gone, and he's still coming. As a matter of fact, I know with certainty that anyone who says he's going to come on this particular day, as soon as you hear someone say, well, July 3rd, 2017, that's how good I am. So that's the day he's going to come. As soon as you hear that, you can say, well, I'll see you later. Have a good day. Because nobody knows the times and dates, okay, of Christ's return. Only the Father in heaven knows that. But there are a lot of false prophets out there. There's a lot of false teaching out there. And Jesus recognized that, and he knows that. And he's warning us. He's saying, watch out. Don't just think about this. Put this into practice. Another definition of a prophet is a man who has been called by God to speak a message. Not a prophetic message as something in the future, but literally a message to the people, okay? And that is a prophet also, and those are many teachers. There's prophets today that are called by God to speak to a certain group of people. And usually that message, in so many different ways, that I love what Diane said this morning, is repent. Repent and turn back to God. Usually that's the message over and over again. But here's the thing. That message is usually not a, actually, I'm not going to say that. That message is not a new message. That is a message that has been preached over and over again, that God raises up a man or a woman in order to bring the truth to that generation or that certain group of people, okay? But here's the thing. If someone rises up and says, I've got a new revelation, I've got a new prophecy, I've got some new teaching that you need to hear and you need to follow God, as soon as you hear that, you need to say, wait a second, back up. Because everything that we need to come to God, to please God, to follow God, to honor him, everything we need is right here. Okay? There's no new revelation needed in any way, shape, or form to make our relationship with God correct in any other way. It's right here. And if anyone is proclaiming a message that is not within this word of God, if he can't go and say, hey, in this chapter, in this verse, this is what God is calling me to say, and this is what he's calling us to, and if he can't go to a passage of scripture, you need to watch out, because there is no new revelation. I'm not going to pick on that. No, I'm not going to. Because it's happening. Actually, it's happened in the past. There's brand new congregations. There's brand new waves of religions that have been formed because someone has said, I have a new revelation. Come follow me out into wherever. I'm not going to say, but you know what I'm talking about. We have people that are doing that exact same thing right now. Here's the thing. Everything we need, God has provided it right here in the Word. And with careful instruction and careful study and careful exegesis of this, we've got it. So a prophet is one who has been called by God to proclaim a message that he has sent, not that we have sent or we have made up. And Jesus says in no uncertain terms in Matthew chapter 24, listen to what he says, because this is something that's going to happen, and it is happening right now. And he says, watch out for this. Be careful about this. Matthew chapter 24. That makes it easy. Got to find my glasses again. Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking. Verse 23, it says, at this time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Okay? He's talking about his return. If someone says, hey, he's already come, or he's over here, or we got to go to this church, or we got to go to this land, or we got to go to this place, don't believe any of that. Jesus is saying very plainly, don't listen to that. He says, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. Do you hear that? He says, they're coming. They're here. And they have a job to do, and their job is to deceive. They're here to kill, steal, and destroy what is left of your faith, or what is your faith, or keep you from coming to faith in some way, shape, or form. They're here. To deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So I love when Jesus says that. He says, I've told you ahead of time. He says, I am so positive this, it is going to happen, and you need to, what do you need to do? Watch out! Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your spirit open to what's going on around you, because they're here. So one of the things when I was studying this, because it gets a little bit difficult, doesn't it? Because they come in sheep's clothing, and it even tells us that. They come in sheep's clothing, though they are ferocious wolves. It's hard to discern who's who and what's what with these false prophets. It gets a little deceiving, and it gets a little confusing, especially when he talks about not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And there's something that's really powerful there, especially in today's society, because in today's society, people are looking for something powerful to follow. All right? And they're looking for some miracle. They're looking for some sign that will give them an assurance and strengthen their faith in some way, shape, or form. And guess what? Signs and miracles are going on, and there are godly people that are doing signs and wonders and miracles. Absolutely. But here's the thing. Don't look at a sign or a wonder or a miracle and say, wow, that must be of God, because there are lots of signs and wonders and miracles that are not of God. And it's been going on for years and years and years. All right? You can go all the way back to the book of Exodus. You remember when Moses comes into Egypt? Remember that he throws it out of the staff? And then all the enchanters and the astrologers and all the people of the king, Pharaoh, and they threw it, and they all changed into snakes. There's a miracle. Of course, the one snake ate up all the other snakes. But there for a while, everything that Moses did, their enchanters were able to do some miraculous things as well. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of things that are out there that people are just ready to jump on a bandwagon and follow because it's miraculous, it's wow, or it's a wow factor, and it's happening over and over and over again. And Jesus says about that kind of stuff, he says what? Watch out. Watch out. As a matter of fact, there's all kinds of different examples of that. You can take a look at Exodus chapter 7, the one I just talked about. You can take a look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Nathan and I were talking about this a little bit this morning. We were trying to find it. I got to find Acts. There we are. It's right after John. Hasn't moved. It's been there the whole time. Acts chapter 8. This is kind of a funny story. I shouldn't say funny, but... So there's this man named Simon, who's a sorcerer. He was one of those guys that were doing miraculous things. He's driving out demons, doing all kinds of things. It says, now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people. He amazed all the people of Samaria, and he boasted that he was something great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is a divine power, known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself, the sorcerer himself, believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip wherever and everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So here's the thing. Great signs and wonders and miracles can happen by godly men, by prophets, by whom God has called. So don't discount them all. Don't throw out everything and say, well, I can't be. All right? But look at where the source is and what's going on, because when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, and when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Spirit, because the Spirit, Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, and they had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus the Lord. Anyway, Simon wanted this power, okay? And he wasn't called by God. It was something that he wanted, and it's not something that God gave him. So there's all kinds of different signs and wonders out there. As a matter of fact, there's another story. I apologize, I'm kind of jumping around. But in Acts chapter 19, hopefully this is the one I was thinking about. Acts chapter 19. Oh, that's not even the one still. Oh, I got three of them here. Acts chapter 19. So here's some guys who were out trying to do some miracles. And they were doing them. They were doing some pretty cool things. All right, and then they ran into something that's a little bit stronger to them. In Acts chapter 19, verse 13, some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, and they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, and I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So they were doing some good things, but not in the right way, okay? I like this, Acts chapter 16. This is the one I've been thinking about the whole time. Acts chapter 16, 16:16. Is that right? Yep, that's right. So, you remember that whole thing that Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 7? He says, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did this, we did that, we did all these different things. Just because someone is talking about Jesus, all right, just because they're talking about them doesn't mean they really know him, all right? Because there's something interesting that goes on here. A little story. 16:16. Paul says, once we were going to the place of prayer and we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for their owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. So this little slave girl, she's doing something really good here. Paul and the other guys are walking around, they're teaching, and this little slave girl is walking around with them for days crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. So this is kind of a little confusing story, because it seems like this girl is doing a really good thing, right? I'm looking at you over my glasses. It seems like she's saying, hey, these guys are servants of the Most High God. So there's something that's just a little bit bothering in there. She didn't say these servants are servants of Jesus or of God Almighty or the God. He says the Most High God. There's a term that's being used there that you can recognize. It's not a godly spirit who's saying that. Okay? There's something that's going on there. And Paul recognized that. At first, it probably was a good thing, but then he recognized this was not something of God. So here's the thing. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who proclaims things or does miraculous signs is someone that we should be following. As a matter of fact, we need to test the spirits of all people. I'm telling you flat out, without any intrepidation or any fear, test what I say. When I'm preaching to you, I want you to be listening to what I'm saying, and I want you to be looking at the Word of God, and I want you to test what I say. I don't want you to take my word for anything. I want you to make sure that you are studying God's Word and looking at it. That's what my elders are for. I've got several elders in this church. I've got several people. Nathan is one of those people in this church. Actually, you are all in this church. And if you are listening to what I'm saying, if you hear something that I say that is contrary to what God's word says, you need to come to me and say it. Diane, you know you've got permission to come. Anyone, come to me and say, hey, what did you say here? I need to clarify this. Did you really mean this? Did you really say that? And if there's something that I'm saying that's contrary to Scripture, then you guys need to watch out. Watch out. Okay? Because in the last days, and you know, everyone says these are the last days. I don't know when he's coming. Did you hear that? I don't know. But in the last days, this is going to amp up. Do you hear me? This is going to amp up in a big way. Because the further we get away from God, the bigger the void becomes in people's lives. And it's becoming huge. People are searching for something to fill that God hole that's in their spirit and in their soul. They're looking for something. And they're trying to fill it with all kinds of stuff. And I guarantee you in the next, I shouldn't say this, I'm not guaranteeing anything. You know what? Yeah. It's coming. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime or your lifetime. But this is going to amp up to a point where people are going to flock. They're going to flock to these false prophets. As a matter of fact, in Revelation it talks about there's going to be a false prophet that's going to rise up, and he's going to deceive everyone. Everyone who doesn't know the truth. Everyone who's not watching out. Who is not cognitive of what's going on. Who is familiar with God's word. He is going to be deceiving all these people. And I don't want you to be a part of that. I want you to be listening very closely to what's being said, what's being preached, what's being done. And don't be deceived. Because Satan is real, and he's got real power. And his power is to kill, steal, and destroy. He is dying to bring you to him and deceive you and take you away from Jesus Christ and the power of who he is. So how do we do this? Jesus gives us some pretty wise words here. He says, watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not by their miracles, not by their words, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now what is this fruit? This is where it got really wow. So there's all kinds of different fruit that we need to be looking for and recognizing. Not only in other people, but really in ourselves as much as anything else. So John the Baptist was preaching one day. He was preaching one day, and these scribes and Pharisees came to him, these Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. They saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, John the Baptist. And he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And he said something very interesting. He says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Did you hear that? Diane already said this a couple times this morning. Produce fruit keeping with repentance. One of the fruit of a truly person who's trying to follow Christ, who's accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, one of the parts of the fruit that will be evident in their life is they have a continual need and desire to repent. Now, there's repentance, and when we come to Christ, yes, absolutely. But there's a sanctification process that we should be going through as Christians. That's a continual thing day after day after day. And when we recognize sin in our life, we have the ability to repent. And we don't do that secretly. We can say, man, I've messed up here, and I need to turn away from the sin that's in my life. When you see a person who's willing and able and willing to do that on a continual basis, recognizing the sin in their life, and they're willing to repent, that is an amazing thing, and that is a good thing. And that's a person that you probably need to look at and to listen to and follow and fellowship with, because their desire is to continue to live their lives in such a way that will bring glory to God and not living for themselves. Does that make sense? Part of the fruit of our lives, the fruit that we should be looking for, not only in other people, because I can't really look at Sherry and say, wow, you're a really repentant person, but I can be looking at other people. But more than that, here's the thing. I should be looking at, we should all be looking at Eldon. No, you should all be looking at yourselves. Looking at my own life. Am I living a life that's producing fruit of repentance in my life daily? Because that's what God is calling us to. And not only is he calling us to be doing that in our own lives, he says, if you want to know and see fruit, remember that whole story about the seed that fell along the path and the seed that fell upon the thorns and the seed that fell upon these different places? And he says there's this one seed that it will bear fruit and it will be 100-fold. So, I got enough time to say it. I'm just going to say it. Part of the fruit of following Jesus is our repentant hearts, but also that our repentant hearts produce in others the model of repentance for them. Okay? How do I say this? Awkward silence. I know a lot of godly people I put the little quotation things there, you know what I'm saying, that don't necessarily have any type of influence on the people around them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I always have to kind of watch out for that, because I can make myself look really good and, you know, have the tassels and all sort of stuff. But if my actions, if my repentance, if my lifestyle is not equating into people around me in such a way that brings them to Christ, that doesn't bring them to me and want to follow what I'm doing, but brings them into a relationship with Jesus as well, if there's not some fruit around them as well, I would watch out, because there's a lot of people out there who live really pious lives. But it does more driving people away than bringing people to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, our fruit should not just be in our own lives to enrich us. The fruit that should be coming from our lives should be spilling over into the people around us. And I can't give them my fruit, but I can encourage them where that fruit was produced from and encourage them to allow that same fruit to develop in their lives. That's an important part of what we're trying to do and need to be doing. So if you're looking around and saying, I'm living a really wonderful life, but I seem to be kind of by myself. Or maybe I've isolated myself. I would question that fruit. So there's other fruit that we should be looking for, and you know, the obvious one is what? Someone help me out. What? Love? Yep. There's a whole list of them. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. See how that is? Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, the one I always forget. And, you know, gentleness, self-control. That's the one I always forget, is the self-control one. Yeah. I need more fruit. Those are the, and those are all good ones, and we could go into a whole other series right there. Love, joy, peace, patience. Man, and not saying that you're perfect in any way, because if you are, then I don't want to be around you anyway. But anyway, so if you're perfect, that, you know, but we're striving to find more love in our life, not just for ourselves or the people around us, and peace. Man, we can't go walking around worried millies about everything of going on. We need to trust that God's in control, and joy. Man, some of the most unjoyous people I'm not going to say it. So you know what I'm saying. All these fruits of the Spirit is something that should be coming out of our lives through our relationship with Jesus, not an act that we're trying to put on or saying, man, I'm going to have more joy today, but it flows out of us naturally because we're connected with the Spirit. We're connected with Jesus, and we recognize what he's done. And those are obvious fruits of the Spirit, but there's another one that I found that I have to share this with you. It's Paul. And he doesn't say this is the fruit of the Spirit or anything like that. But in 2 Timothy, I was reading in 2 Timothy 4, and you know how I do things. I got to back up and read a little bit beforehand. And I ran into this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So Paul's charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And as I read it, literally, it was like, that's fruit. Paul says to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be fully and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you hear the fruit of the fruit? Did you hear the fruit right there in Paul? Listen to what he says. You know all about my teaching. He says, you know my way of life. Not only was I a scholar and taught, but I lived it. You know my way of life, my purpose. Do people know your purpose? Can people look at you and know your purpose, why you're here? Well, I'm here to weld. Or I'm here to, you know, I don't know, I'm here to farm. Is that really your purpose? You know my purpose. You know my faith, the patience, the love, the endurance. You recognize the persecutions and the suffering of what things I have endured. That's fruit. That's what he's calling us to. Huh. Watch out. Watch out. I'm going to go through these four passages to watch out for. I think that's what I'm going to do. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. I was just joking with Candy about this a little bit ago. Watch out! Watch out to woe to you. This is verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. I am safe here. Amen? Whew! All the rest of it, I was like, oh, man. But this one, I'm good. I'm good here. We're good. So it says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets, because they're trying to please everyone and not please the one who matters. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm repeating myself. I am repeating myself. Did you notice I repeated myself? 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Listen to this. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth in dispute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Did you hear this? Watch out. Take a look at 1 John chapter 4. Watch out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Test the spirits. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Did I read this one to you? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Wow, there are so many. Yeah. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come to hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected. It is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. I encourage you to read the rest of chapter 4. Jude 4, and this is where I'm going to, Jude, verse 4. This is where I think we're at right now, in so many ways. Even in the church today. Jude chapter 4, starting at verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Verse 4, for certain men whose condemnation has been written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ for our only sovereign and Lord. Did you hear that? So whoever was writing Jude, which I'm assuming was Jude, was saying even back then, men are slipping in and trying to say that this grace that God has given to us is a license to sin. Do you hear that? And that is a message that's being preached. They're not saying it that way. The world isn't saying it that way, but that's literally the message that is behind what's being preached in so many different ways. That's why I said the fruit of those who are not false prophets, the fruit is that they are continually repenting. They're recognizing sin. They're calling sin what God calls sin, and they're turning away from it. They're not wallowing in it. They're not condoning it. They're not spreading it. They're recognizing it and repenting from it, and they're turning from it. And not only are they recognizing it, repenting from it, and turning from it, and seeking God, they're teaching others to do the same. You see, that's the fruit that really will bring true repentance into the world. That's the fruit that will bring people to the grace of God, because when we recognize what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, when we recognize the great sacrifice, when we recognize there is no other way to the Father except through the Son, when we recognize how great and incredible, mighty, awesome gift that truly is, what Jesus has done, we would have no other response except to fall on our knees and to ask him for forgiveness, to recognize that great gift comes through a sacrifice that was huge. And we desire to serve him and honor him and live for him and not ourselves. Eldon, you're beating me up. No, I'm beating me up. The hardest part of this entire study all week long, honestly, was, am I doing that? Is that me? Have I said that? Am I one of those bad guys? I pray that I'm not. And if I am, I truly ask God to help me turn my life to him and know him even more fully, as I am fully known because I'm hiding nothing from him. And when he reveals it to me, I pray that he would give me the strength to turn away from whatever is keeping me from him and turn to him. The hardest part of this message is that it's me in some way, shape, or form. And if anyone is perfect in all that they say, they are a perfect man. And here's the thing, I am not a perfect man. And neither are you. But there's a process that he's taking us through so that we can, listen to me, bear fruit for him. And it's not just the preachers, and it's not just the teachers. It's every single one of us. And he's telling us very plainly, watch out. Guard your heart. Everything you need is right here. Don't ignore it. Don't run away from it. Don't discount it. But ingest it. Learn it. Then practice it. I'm saving this to the very end because I'm afraid this is, I hope this is not the only thing that you remember from this message today, because right now there's a lot of deception going on out there, okay? There's a lot of deception going on right there, out there, and right now it's funny, and, you know, I love my country. I do. I love the United States of America. I do. And I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I really wouldn't. I love the freedom that we have here. And it just cracks me up right now of what's going on in our political realms. And I'm not a political, you guys know me, I'm not a political guy. My hope, my trust is in Jesus and Jesus alone. I trust and believe that God appoints and he puts in office the people that he designed to put in office, good, bad, and ugly. And some people say, well, I can't believe that because there's some really, you know, ugly, stupid, raunchy, godless people in power, and I don't know why God would put them there. Well, as soon as people say, I said, have you ever read the Old Testament? I mean, literally, have you read the Old Testament at any point in time in your life? Because God has done that for centuries and centuries. He's put people who are nasty, crazy, horrible people in power. And he does that for a reason. You know why he does that? It's the whole word we've been talking about. To bring his people to repentance. To repentance. Anyway, I'm getting off the track, but here we go. So I'm not going to say what party or anything like that. There's some really funny ads going on TV right now. Have you noticed that? Has anyone else noticed this? There's some funny, funny ads right now. And there's so much deception going on, and I want you guys to watch out, okay? Watch out, because the things that are being said in some of the ads is like, huh, that's interesting. But then please read at the bottom of the screen who Who's putting that ad out? And then all of a sudden start saying, what? Why? How? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, watch out. Don't be deceived. Just open your eyes and find out the truth of what he's calling us to be and do. Hear his words and do it. Amen? Let's stand and sing.